This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much for joining us. Episode 20, night number 20 of this Ramadan, 1441. And subhanAllah, this is the last night of the middle third of the month of Ramadan. 20 nights have gone by. And subhanAllah, from tomorrow begins the last 10 nights. And in fact, tomorrow, the 21st night, inshaAllah, here in Cape Town, is one of the odd nights, and really the holiest nights of the year are upon us. Very possible that tomorrow could be the night of Laylatul Qadr. It is also a Thursday night or Friday evening, and so subhanAllah, every one of these nights are going to become very, very special. And I know the month has gone by very quickly, but at the same time, Ramadan is always tiring. It takes a toll on the body, and so whatever strength we have in us, we ask Allah to grant us to go to the next level and to really push through in these last 10 nights and to prepare ourselves. So inshallah, tomorrow we will talk about the last 10 nights of Ramadan, what to do, and the amazing rewards that are up for grabs. But tonight, inshallah, we will conclude with this amazing surah of Surah Yasin. We do our last section. This section is about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really demonstrating His power, really showing He is in control and He is supreme, and to put man back in his place. So throughout the surah, if we go through each section, we find that, you know, there's always this group that is challenging Allah. In the beginning, there are those who are challenging the Prophet ﷺ, and they're challenging the ayat, they reject it. Then you have those who disbelieved in the people of the town and they were destroyed. Then Allah speaks about how many ayat, He spoke about the plants and the sun and the moon and the ship, and how many times these people would they see these ayat and they turn away. And then in fact, to show the height of the arrogance, they say that if Allah wanted to feed these people, then He could have fed them Himself. And then of course Allah spoke about Qiyamah and the consequences of disbelief. In the last section yesterday, we spoke about the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, saying that he is not one that is speaking in poetry, rather he is a messenger and he is come with a reminder from Allah, and he should not feel bad about what these people are doing. And so these people have challenged the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and it's not just the Quraysh. We're saying there's so many people that today are perhaps of the height of arrogance, is that not only do they challenge Allah, they deny that He exists completely. The religion that is really taking over the world is that of atheism, and it is to deny that Allah even existed. And so this is even the height of arrogance. And so Allah responds to this kind of arrogance with a very powerful ayat, which we'll talk about inshallah this evening. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, verse number 77. أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِن نُطْفَةٍ فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. Allah says, does man not consider, do you not realize, O insan, that we created you from a nutfa? A nutfa is like, it is a sexual discharge. It is that fluid that comes from the father and that mixes with the mother's discharge. Something which, if it fell on your clothes, you would wash it. Something which you are shy about. And so Allah says, that is what each and every one of you come from. That is where you started off from. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't go into the details, but when He says nutfa, He's telling you, O insan, look at what you created from. Where did that nutfa come from? It passed through your father's urinary tract. It went through your mother's private area, and then it mixed those two sexual fluids, and then you were birthed once again through your mother's private areas. And subhanAllah, that is your origin. Allah says, that is where you come from, O insan. فَإِذَا هُوَ خَسِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. You started off from that. Now you've grown up and I have given you strength and I've given you a position, and all of a sudden, فَإِذَا, meaning all of a sudden, suddenly, هُوَ خَسِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. He is an open adversary to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A khasim is someone that argues in a very rude way, someone that argues in a very arrogant, stubborn way. So Allah says He comes before and He's arguing against whom? He's arguing against Allah. And mubeen meaning openly, shamelessly, publicly. He disputes with Allah publicly. So this one, and Allah is again showing the contrast, you are challenging me, look at where you came from. وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا وَنَسِيَ خَلْقًا. And He presents to Allah a parable, meaning He gives Allah a challenge. Parable, yeah, meaning He asks Allah and He challenges Allah and He forgets His own creation. He forgets where He came from. قَالَ مَنْ يُحْيَى الْإِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ. This person asks, who is it that will bring these bones back to life after it has become dust and it has decayed? And this was a common question that the nations of old and the Quraysh, and in fact today very, very common, they look at these bones and they look at towns that have disintegrated, and they said, do we really believe in these fairy tales that these bones will be brought back to life? And the word here, qala man, it's a rhetorical, who will give it life? Meaning there's no such someone who has the power to bring these bones back to life after it has become dust. And so Allah says, they forget their own selves. And so Allah responds with this ayah. Allah says, kul say, yuhya alladhi, the one who will bring it back to life, alladhi anshaha awwala marra, is the same one that produced it, and the same one that made these bones, that brought it out of nothing, he is the one who will bring it back to life a second time. وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ خَلْقٍ عَلِيمٍ. And he is over all creation knowing. Allah is aware of everything. So this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they challenge Allah, and they forget that there was a time when they were nothing, and then they were a sexual discharge, and then they became bones. And so as we created them through the stages, when those bones disintegrate, do not forget the story isn't over. Allah will bring those bones back to life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another ayah, فَلَا قَادِرِينَ عَلَىٰ أَن نُسَوِّيَ بَنَانَا. When we are disintegrated and dust, will Allah really bring this dust together and bring us back to life? Allah says, of course, and He will bring it back to their banana, meaning their fingertips. Now, of course, we know today the amazing things about each and every person. We have a special barcode. No two people have the same fingerprints. And so Allah says in the Quran very clearly, I will bring you back to the tips of your fingers, that each and every one of your fingertips will be identical as it was in the way I will create you. And no atom, no cell in your body will be different to the way it was. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create. Remember, making something a second time or recreating a second time is a lot easier than doing it the first time. Not that it was difficult in the first time, but just consider, I've done it before from nothing. And so how easy would it be for me to bring you back to life a second time over? And again, in that ayah, it's not in this surah, when Allah says, بَلَا قَادِرِينَ عَلَىٰ أَن نُسَوِّيَ بَنَانَا, when Allah says, I'll bring you back to your fingertips, your fingerprints. We know, when do you take your fingerprints? When you are locked up or when you're held accountable. That's really the only time when your fingerprints are sort of taken, when you are, you know, in the front of an authority. And so on Qiyamah, when Allah says, I'll bring you back to your fingerprints, it also gives this idea that you are in a courtroom now, and we're going to answer, subhanAllah, for everything we said. So Allah says, these people challenge me, and they forget where they came from, and how I made them the first time. Allah continues, أَلَّذِي جَعَلَكُم مِّنَ الشَّجَرِ أَحْضَرِ نَارًا فَإِذَا أَنْتُم مِّنْهُ تُوْقِدُونَ. Allah gives another parable. So Allah says, if you're still not convinced, O insan, you have not looked at so many examples Allah is giving for the creation and the resurrection. Allah gives another example. Allah says, the same one who will resurrect you, He is the one that causes for you the green trees, and from there you make fire from which you ignite. So Allah says, He gives an example. Allah says, look at how He creates and He recreates and He changes one state to another. Allah says, the drop of water, from that it's blue, it becomes a, you know, it goes to the ground and it makes a tree that is green, you know, is lush. Then that same tree will become wood, or it becomes bark, it becomes brown, and that brown branch becomes, you know, you light it and it becomes alive again like fire. So Allah says, look at how He converts one creation into another. So don't be surprised if out of nothing Allah brought something alive, and then again from something which is dead, He will bring it back to life. The ayah Allah says again, yeah, فَإِذَا أَنْتُم مِّنْهُ تُوْقِدُونَ. And Allah says, effortlessly, without any hardship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala converts one state to another. And so insan, don't think that this is the last state for you. There will be more after you die. The story continues, and Allah will create you once again. Allah says, أَوَلَيْسَ الَّذِينَ. Still, if this is not enough, O insan, Allah now, you know, hammers the people that challenge Him. Allah is sending another example, and this is perhaps the most powerful. Allah says, أَوَلَيْسَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِقَادِرٍ عَلَىٰ أَن يَخْلُقَ مِثْلَهُمْ بَلَىٰ وَهُوَ الْخَلَّاقُ الْعَلِيمُ. Allah says, is it not enough? Is it not sufficient for you as an evidence? This is a rhetorical question, that the one who created the heavens and the earth, and we know, subhanAllah, there are trillions and billions, countless stars and planets and massive things out there in space, is not the one who created all of creation, the heavens and the earth, بِقَادِرٍ, able to create the likes of you, meaning, oh, you insan, you are insignificant compared to the universe. Do you think the one who created all these planets and stars is not able to create you a second time again? Bala, most certainly the word bala means, it's rhetorical, it answers the question, of course, وَهُوَ الْخَلَّاقُ الْعَلِيمُ, and that He is al-khallaq. Khallaq is the exaggerated form of khaliq. Khaliq is the creator. Khallaq is the one who is always creating, meaning He continuously creates. He created before we were here, He creates while we are here, and He's creating as after we are long gone. After we are in Jannah, it is believed Allah will continue to create new creations. He's continuously creating. So He's Al-Khallaq Al-Alim. He knows, and of course with creation comes definite knowledge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look, if you really think that you are all that, you are nothing compared to the cosmos, the universe, and the one that made those things. It's way easier to make the likes of you. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادًا شَيْئًا أَن يَكُولْ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Allah says, verily, and to show you how simple it is, Allah wants to demonstrate His power here. He says, verily, even in the heavens and the earth, even in making all these stars and planets, verily, if Allah wants something, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا, if He desires, Allah decrees something, All he needs to do is say be, and it is kun fayakun. Allah just has to will it, and it comes into existence. There is no struggle, there is no toil, there is no effort, there is no construction. He doesn't need raw materials, he doesn't need bones to bring it back to life. He can bring it out of nothing. His command is only when he intends something, when Allah wants something to be, he just says be, and it is. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, and he continues to create, and how we will be resurrected once again. One blowing of a trumpet, and he will say be, and all of us will come alive once again. Subhanallah. And that is why the next ayah is فَسُبْحَانَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. That when Allah exalts His power, when Allah shows you His majesty, the believers naturally say Subhanallah. Subhanallah means, you know, all perfection and all might and all power and all grandeur is to you, Allah. You are perfect and we are imperfect. There is nothing like you. So that is why when Allah, He demonstrated His power by saying, I created everything, just by saying be, I just willed it and it came into existence. Fasubhana, that glory be Allah. Alladhi biyadihi malakut, in whose hands is all of creation, in whose hands everything is within His grasp. كل شيء وإليه ترجعون, and you will come back to Him again. And this is sort of a promise and a threat. Now subhanAllah, you think the person that challenges Allah, that speaks so disrespectfully to Allah, now the same Allah is the one who created all of creation, do you think you'll escape Him? And then you will have to return and answer to Allah what you said. Allah is going to ask these people, did you really reject that I am here? Did you really look at all of this creation and think there is no creator after it? How could you do that? And imagine having to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this kind of arrogance. And so we also learn from this ayah, Allah ends with the word by saying, begins by saying, Subhanallah. Subhanallah, we know, is to make dhikr. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah. And therefore, Allah is teaching us, the only one who is deserving of dhikr, the only one who is deserving of worship, is the one who created all of creation, who has power over all of creation. And to Him, all of creation will return again a second time. So with these beautiful ayat, we end the last section of Surah Yasin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this time that we spent together, and forgive us for the shortcomings. We can never do justice to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope it has been beneficial. Maybe just before we conclude, to wrap up and to summarize this section and to summarize the entire surah and the themes of Surah Yasin, we said this last section, Allah shows the arrogance of insan, that he denies not only the resurrection, as we said, today people are even more arrogant. The past, you know, Abu Jahl and them, they did not deny Allah. They believed that there was an Allah. Yes, they committed shirk, but they believed there was an Allah. They just denied that there was a prophet. They denied the Quran. They denied Qiyamah. Today's kuffar are even worse. They even deny Allah Himself. And so the height of arrogance, to think that all of this came from nothing, to think that you have power over this thing, Allah shows that, oh insan, you are really nothing and insignificant in the grand scheme of things. You are nothing compared to the rest of creation. And so Allah says, you challenge me, look at your origin, look at where you came from, look at how you came from nothing, you came from a child, you're gone, and then you become old again, you are bones, and Allah will bring those bones back again. And Allah gave a number of examples. And so Allah ended off by saying that there is no doubt you're coming back, and in that there's a bit of a warning in that you are coming back to me. Oh insan, you are going to come back to me, and you will have to answer for what you did on this earth. There's no escape from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so subhanallah, we say to Allah, all praise be to Him and all worship is to Him. None has the right of worship except Him, the all powerful, the almighty. And then if we put together all these sections, we said that this surah really is a powerful answer to the Quraysh at a time when they were very arrogant, and to all those who are arrogant to the signs of Allah. The surah also had many messages to the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, giving him consolation, you know, putting comfort in his heart. If we go through some of these themes, as we said, the Meccan surahs are all about Iman. You don't find any fiqh ruling in here. This is all about reinforcing the basics of Iman, belief. And so the first thing and the most important thing is, of course, affirming Allah's oneness, affirming that He is the Creator, affirming that Allah has power over all things, and that there is none that deserves worship besides Him. So subhanAllah, any person that listens to this lecture, ask yourself, what are you worshipping? Or if you are worshipping nothing, then ask yourself, like Allah says, who created all of this creation and who puts it in place? If you say nobody, nothing, you know, you have to deal with it. It's a very, you know, far-fetched idea. If you say there is someone that created the sun, the moon, all of the cosmos, then you ask yourself, now who do you worship? If after saying that the Creator made all of this, but I worship Jesus, a statue, a cow, a kramat, then subhanAllah, You ask yourself, why? How does that even make sense? And so Allah is telling us again and again and again, look at the one who is in control of the creation. What benefit is there to turn to any of these ilahs, these intermediaries, if the one and all-powerful is assisting you or against you? There is no need to worship anyone besides Allah. So Allah affirms this concept of tawheed, that He is the creator, and that He is the one in control of creation, and all of creation will return to Him. And we said that is the ultimate theme of the whole Quran. In fact, every single surah of the Quran brings back to this concept of tawheed, the oneness of Allah, and the oneness of Allah's worship alone. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give an evidence to mankind, saying that this is a revelation from that same creator who is in control of the universe. This book is from him, and it is a book of guidance, and this man is a messenger. And so Allah explains that he's not a poet, that this book, with all of its eloquence, where did it come from if he's not a poet? Allah gave examples that, look, the previous nations, we acknowledge that they were prophets. You know, all these prophets came before. Do we then deny that this man is following in the footsteps of the prophets? He doesn't want any money. Why is he bringing this message? It is only to guide and to call. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlighted, I've subdued this world for you, O insan. I've made it easy for you to live, easy for you to build civilizations. The animals are at your mercy. The weather is at your mercy. The land, everything. Allah said, I've made it easy. I've made it, subdued it for you so you may live, and so that you may be grateful, and so that you may worship me. But if you turn away, then of course there is consequences. Now Allah wants us to realize, if everything in the creation has been made simple and has been made accessible for us, then do we really think Allah would neglect the most important thing, meaning our spirituality, that Allah would leave us blind? Surely then that He would send us a guidance, He would send us a purpose. Why are we here? And this is one of the most fundamental questions that all nations of all societies, we realize as a creature we are different to the rest of the world. We know that we are superior in our intellect, in our understanding, in our creativity. Surely there must be a reason behind this. And so Allah says, consider that you are here not just for today, not just to go day to day, that there is a bigger objective why you are here, and that is of course to actualize, to realize, to have a connection with the creator, and to be, go beyond the, to transcend the creation. That is why you are here. Then of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that there is a life after this, and much of the surah was dedicated to the cycles of life, going from being young and going from a nutfa and then becoming a man and then dying and then the bones being brought back to life, the moon going through its stages, the sun going through its stages. And so the cycles of life and transition throughout the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing how creation changes from one state to another, and that ultimately there is a final state, and that is the day of resurrection. And subhanAllah, each and every one of us, we reflect on this. Where are we in that cycle of life? Are we towards the end of the cycle? Are we at the beginning of the cycle? And that we should remember that subhanAllah, one stage leads to the next. What we do now impacts the next stage. And so we don't just live for now. The believer, as the Nabi says, we have a higher purpose than this year. We are just travelers passing through this cycle of life to a much greater event, which is the life after death. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds of that. And then of course, very explicitly Allah explained the events of Qiyamah. Allah explained what it's like on the day of judgment, what Jannah is like, what Jahannam is like. May Allah protect us. And then ultimately, mankind, the surah is telling you that mankind is going to end up into two groups. There are those who fear Allah, have a consciousness of Allah, who are good people, who feed the poor, who look and reflect on the natural signs in front of them. They reflect on history, the nations of old, and more importantly, they reflect on this reminder Allah has sent them, and so they prepare themselves for the next life. And then there are those who are obstinate, argumentative, they are arrogant, closed off from the signs, and they turn away, and so Allah turns them away. And so for them is a great warning as well, that for them is the other destination, which is Jahannam. And we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us, and may Allah allow us to have understanding of the surah. You know, the surah, as we said, one of the times that people recited the surah and the sahaba would be close to their death. Why? What is the reason about reciting it on your deathbed? Yes, we know that Nabi said it makes easy the transition of death. Remember, this entire surah is about transition, about moving from one stage of your life to another. And so when someone is on his deathbed, a believer, no one wants to die. But imagine someone that you love, or yourself, you're on your deathbed and you listen to these verses and you know you were born into this world, you are being born into another state of life. You are being transferred into the next life. For the good person, of course, that transition is smooth, it's easy. May Allah grant all of us a beautiful death, a death in which Allah is pleased with us. When those angels call us beautifully and say, come out to the mercy of Allah, leave this dunya behind and come out to Allah's pleasure and mercy and forgiveness. And so you leave this dunya to a better reality. That is why when we recite these verses, yes, Allah makes it spiritually easy, but also it's easy on your heart, knowing you're going to Allah. And then of course the pinnacle of the surah, and the most beautiful verse of the surah, is to get that promise from Allah, Salamun qawlan min Rabbir Rahim. Allah says, peace is upon you, His love is upon us, His kindness is upon us. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants that for all of us, and that this surah, that we live by the surah, we follow its guidance, and that when we reach our death, we will feel that salam, that mercy, and that greetings of peace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen. May Allah have mercy on all those who have passed away and grant us, you know, a good life and a good death. Ameen. Jazakallah khair. I hope, alhamdulillah, that there was a benefit in here. May Allah forgive us for our shortcomings. As we said, we can never do justice to the surah. Tomorrow, inshaAllah, we will do a tafsir of surah Qadr. There's an entire surah Allah has revealed for the night of Laylatul Qadr, and this is Laylatul Qadr is upon us. And so we will do that tafsir, and then inshaAllah, we will do a very high level tafsir in the remainder of the month of Surah Mulk, Surah Tabarak as well, inshaAllah. Jazakallah khair. Keep us in your du'as. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.